tonight's scripture reading is from Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17 in the New Living Translation. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be present with us in a very special way as we share your word together. God, one more time, we need you, Lord, to bring your word alive for us, to be the loudest voice in the room, that we would indeed hear what you have to say to us, that we would see your glory, that we would be transformed, God, by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about the last number of weeks about being the church and what that looks like and how the church is not the beautiful building in which we worship, but the people of God gathered together. And we've reached up to God. We've reached out to the world. And tonight we're going to talk about fellowship. Koinonia is the Greek word. And really even more than fellowship, community. That the church is the body of Christ. We're supposed to be there for one another. And, you know, I get frustrated with the larger church sometimes. I get frustrated at the loud screaming voices. I get frustrated at the way I see Christians portrayed, sometimes by ourselves. Sometimes I think it would be a whole lot easier to do this on our own. It would be a whole lot easier not to have to worry about meetings and difficult people and theology arguments and worship disagreements. It would just be easier not to do it. And yet it wouldn't be easier not to do it, as tempting as that is sometimes, not to have to deal with a broken church. Because we need one another, because God places us in community. He does not call us to be lone ranger Christians battling it out on our journey of life. Not only does God promise that he will always be with us through his Holy Spirit, Jesus lives in us, but he puts us in community. Because as we've been talking about all the time we're talking about the church, it all comes down to relationship. The relationship we have with God through Jesus Christ, and then the relationship we have with the world around us, and then the relationship we have, most importantly, tonight with one another. There's something powerful about the church, and as broken as the church seems to be sometimes, as irrelevant as it seems like the church is sometimes today, as hard as it is some days to fill up this place with worshipers, the church is the vessel God has chosen to be in the world. The church is the vessel God has used and is using to bring hope and healing and new life to a broken world. And so we need to be together in this thing we call church. I love as Paul is writing to the Colossians and giving them some advice on how to be the church, how to be in fellowship, how to be in community. He says all sorts of things like to be tenderhearted and have humility and bear with one another and forgive one another. And I'm reminded that the church is not a place filled with perfect people. Because if it was, we wouldn't have to worry about humility and bearing with one another and forgiving one another. The reality is the church is filled with unique individuals with their own strengths and weaknesses, with their own broken places, and with their own opportunity to be a source of blessing or a source of irritation. Whenever we share our lives with people, as any of you who live in a household with somebody besides yourself know, when we share our lives with one another, sometimes it's messy. And sometimes they see the worst side of who we are, and yet somehow love manages to win out. And that's kind of how it is with the body of Christ. We're tempted. We're tempted to kind of show up with our best foot forward. You know, I call that our church face. You know, we're fighting in the car, we're angry with our children, we're irritated at whoever, right? And we walk in the door, and what do? Good morning! You know? How are you? I'm fine. How are you? You know, we put our church face on so no one will realize that we don't live a perfect life. And all we do when we do that is we make all the other people around us feel like there's something wrong with them because they know they were fighting in the car on the way to church. They knew they had to drag their child kicking and screaming to Sunday school. So when we're able to drop that church face, when we're able to be who we are, broken people in process, if you will, saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, being made new day by day by day, being transformed from glory to glory to glory, something amazing happens in our midst. And I know that to be true, not just from a theological and a spiritual perspective, if you will. I know that to be true because over the last 6 years, I've seen that happen in this room Thursday night after Thursday night after Thursday night. When people come with their burdens, with their struggles, with the broken places of their life, no matter what it is, if it's physical, if it's emotional, if it's relational, if it's spiritual, when people come in this room and allow themselves to be broken, then this community of believers, this much-loved family here, circles around them with love and prayer and encouragement. And on those nights when that happens, on those nights when I see you all be the church, I go home singing a song and having tears in my eyes all at the same time, because that's what I believe God calls us to be, the church. Who loves one another, who bears with one another, who encourages one another, who counsels one another, who worships, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God, who's thankful. A group of people, more than anything, bound together in love. It doesn't mean you always like everybody. It doesn't mean people don't get on your nerves. But we're bound together in love, and not just our human love, which is imperfect, but God's love, God's perfect love, which covers a multitude of sins. There's power in the church being the church. It always makes me really sad when I see someone have some sort of a crisis in their life, and their first response is to step it back from church. My prayer continues to be when we are broken, when we get bad news, when we feel like our life is falling apart, when we don't know what to do next, when we're not sure that we can hold on to our faith, is that we come running through those doors to be wrapped in the love of Jesus through the love of our brothers and sisters. Because united in love, nothing can stop us. And like I said, we don't have to be dependent on our own love to kind of try to summon up this love and grit our teeth and love one another when it's hard. But God invites us to be a vessel of his love. As I've loved you, Jesus said, love one another. Love is the hallmark of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians. He says, I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, and I don't love. I don't have love. I'm just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. He says, if I possess all wisdom and all knowledge and I understand all mysteries and prophecies, and yet I don't have love, I don't love, I'm nothing. And if I give all I have to the poor, and I even give over my body to be burned at the stake, to be burned as a martyr, I gain nothing. Without love. I love the way Eugene Peterson wraps up this passage in the message. He says, therefore, no matter what I do, no matter what I say, no matter what I believe, I am bankrupt without love. It's the hallmark of who we are. Jesus said to his disciples in the last discourse he had with them, he said, this is how people are going to know that you belong to me. Not by the purity of your doctrine. Not by the kind of clothes you wear or the movies you watch or the music you listen to. Not by what your politics are. Not by how big of a church you have or how many people are in worship or how much money you give to mission. People are going to know you belong to me by the way you love one another. We have another example of taking that out of a theological thought or a spiritual expression and seeing it fleshed out in the church. I'm sure you've heard of the response to the shooting at Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston. And when the families of the victims had an opportunity to face this young man at his arraignment, this young man who had brutally and hatefully killed their family members, they looked him in the eye and they loved him and they forgave him. I saw a video clip of a news reporter from, I believe it was CNN this week, who had seen the arraignment and then was outside the courtroom, and there were people gathered in the street and they were singing praises to God. They were singing gospel songs, and this professional news reporter could not hold it together. Someone else had to take over for him because he was moved to tears, because that's what the gospel in action does. When we live out the gospel, people notice. They are swept away by the beauty of the love of Jesus in a group of broken people. I had the great blessing to be gathered last night with some friends and some friends I've not yet met at the Bethlehem AME Church in Burlington on Pearl Street, as hundreds of people from all different denominations gathered together for a prayer vigil to remember what happened in Charleston, to remember the shootings and the families, and to pray for God's moving in the church, for God's moving in our country, for us to deal with some of the issues that separate us as people. And it was an incredible moment to see people with me, see them with my heart, but to have people gather together from different denominations, different faiths, different worship styles, different races, gathered together in one room singing God's praises. To be hugged and loved by people that you've never even met before was a little taste of what I believe heaven is going to be like. It's a little taste of community, what God calls us to be, his family, his body, the people of God, loving and caring for one another. In some ways, I'm preaching to the choir, because I believe with all my heart the greatest gift this congregation has as a church is the way you all love one another. It is beautiful to see. Sometimes after the service is over, I just stand here and listen as people are talking and laughing and hugging each other and catching up with one another. I experienced that Sunday morning during the peace. I like to just stand there and listen to the chatter and the laughter and the love. Roger often prays, "Thank you, God, for the love that we share in this room." And it is, it's a special thing. I've been to a lot of churches, and I've been to churches that do not love one another the way you all do. I just want to remind you tonight what a blessing that is to be rooted into a family of love, to have the opportunity to love and care for one another, to be the church, not just to strangers, but to one another. I've been giving you a challenge every week, and my challenge to you this week is to ask God to help you improve on something that you already do well. To ask God to show you opportunities where you can love on one another. Also, the challenge is if you are struggling, if you're having a hard time, if you're doubting, if you're broken, if you're facing a health crisis, if your marriage is falling apart, if your kids are not doing the things you want them to do, I long for you to ask God to give you the courage to take your church face off, to be able to share your brokenness, our brokenness with one another, that we can encourage one another and support one another, pray for one another, be the church. And when my faith is faltering, when I'm struggling, I'm so blessed by you when your faith is strong. When I'm broken and my brothers and sisters pray for me and love me, it gives me strength I could never find on my own. Let's not try to do this thing on our own. Let's do it in community. Let's be family more and more and more. See God move in our midst. Let's see what he can do about drawing other people to us when they see the way we love one another and know that we belong to Jesus. Will you pray with me? Lord God, thank you for your church, battered, broken, bruised sometimes, full of individuals that you love, created in your image. God, thank you for this particular group of people in this room who love one another so beautifully. And God, show us how we can do that even better. Show us opportunities, God, we can reach out in love to one another. And God, help us be a safe place. Help us to be a place where we encourage and bless and pray for one another, Lord, where we listen, where we love, where we hug, where we pray. We put our hands on one another, God, to share your love. Lord, that your perfect love may be lived out in this group of people, because we long, God, for people to know we belong to you, Jesus, by the way we love one another. So have your way in us, God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.